good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast on this second Sunday of February 2020. Man, time is flying by. I welcome you, those that's tuned me in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. I welcome you, those of you that tuned in by the way of Ionia, WION, 1430 AM, 92.7 FM, and in the Lowell area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. I welcome all of you to our broadcast time today. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we now stream both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse, scroll your mouse up there, and it shows Current Media. Click on Current Media, and that takes you to the broadcast that we have for this morning. And I appreciate those who have tuned me in. However you're listening this morning, I welcome you to our broadcast time. And as we have our message this morning, I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial broadcast time. So a big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond. They're from the building area. He's just gone through a very major surgery and was able to come home, and that's good. Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area. And Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. I appreciate each of those that give the financial support. Looking forward to God's blessing to be upon us. A thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting the music for today's broadcast. And so we need to give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. And so at Shiloh campus, Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And then we have a campus in Greenville also. It's at the old Calvary Baptist Church. That is the corner of Grove and Luray Street, and that service is at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. I believe that takes care of those things I need to take care of. I'm here at the Lighthouse. It's a Tuesday afternoon that I had time to come over and get the service together. And you know, the lake is really frozen over. I don't see any fishermen out there right now. There has been in days gone by, but today I think they're all taking a day off, or maybe just a little scared about how little ice there is, because it's been pretty warm. Got rid of a lot of snow that I had down here by the lake, and so I'm just glad that we got a little break in it. Bevy and I, for 22 years, we had been going to Florida, and this is our first year that we felt we just, last year we made a decision saying, you know what, I'm going to be 85 in another week or so. I don't think we want to go to Florida anymore. I think we want to stay home. It just got to be harder to do. And so let's just stay home, turn up the thermostat, and just do some things like that. So we're here to share the message this morning. Just do it. Just do it. Dare to risk and get involved in caregiving. Dare to risk. God wants us to dare to risk. We looked at last week, daring to risk. And this time what I want us to think about for this week is to get involved in things that kind of helps other people. I like the term caregiving, being assistant to somebody else that needs need. And we will discuss that. Before we get ready to get the message going, though, we got a song, Let Me Be the One is the name of the song. I've always liked this song. It's got a pretty good lead on it, so I think I might just get it started going, and then I'll talk during the lead. But you know, it's always special when songs kind of speak to your own heart, you know, something that gives you a blessing. And this is a story about the 10 lepers, and all 10 of them had the disease of leprosy. But Jesus, they cried out to him for help. And as they went, he told them to go show themselves to the priest. And as they went on their way, they were healed. But only one of them returned to give thanks. Let's listen in.
hesitate, then they all ran away. One of them returned to him and fell at his feet with tears of joy. To the master he brought thanks. Let me be the one to say thank you when all others have turned and walked. My life full of sin, my dreams were shattered, my world in disarray. But his tender grace my sin erased, and he made my life anew. I've got to praise him, that's the that I can do. Let me be the one to say thank you when all others had turned and walked away. If just one soul
think I want that for my prayer. Let me be the one that returns and says thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. And we need to realize that that's exactly what we're going to be addressing this morning. It took risk for that leper to return. He was a Samaritan. And it took risk for him to return and say thank you. And he bowed down and he worshiped the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to have a word of prayer, and once again, I want to pray for the listening audience that God's richest blessing would be upon you as we go through another week. Whatever your needs are in your life right now, you're my moment of concern. You're the ones that I'm praying for. You're my listening audience, and I'm glad to have you being a part of the broadcast. And so I want to remember you in prayer and your family and the things you're going through as an individual. I've had people even tell me sometimes when I see them in the market, thanks for praying for me. I just found out I had cancer, and I didn't know that, but just because I prayed on the radio that way, it meant a lot to that individual. So let me just pray for you. Whatever it is that you're going through, I'll name some things, and we're just going to ask the Lord to meet you at the point of your need. Dear Father, we come on behalf of the listening audience. I thank you for each one that's tuned in the broadcast today. I ask your special blessing to be upon them. I pray that you would minister to them in a very special way. I pray, Father, whatever their need is, Father, that's what I love about you. You meet us at the point of our need. and you take us forward. So, Father, whatever the need is, maybe it's financial, maybe it's something spiritual that they got to get through, maybe it's a physical time that they're having, they're in pain, maybe they've just found out they have cancer or they got to have a surgery, or whatever it is that is causing a lot of difficulty in their minds and their hearts, I pray your special blessing to be upon them and minister to them in a very special way. I want to pray for the families. I want to pray for the moms and the dads as they get their kids through school and so on. I want to pray for all the older folks that may be unable to get out. Maybe they're in a nursing home or foster care home. Maybe they're in the privacy of their own home, but they can't get to church like they used to do. And they've tuned me in this morning, and so I want to pray for them in a very special way as well. God, would you meet the needs of the listening audience according to your will? And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in this wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, this idea of daring to take a risk, just do it is the idea I'm trying to get across. Just do it. First, we need to have as a foundation that so much of our life involves risk-taking, doesn't it? We read about many years ago at the different times of life, what was recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes, it was a different period of life than we're in. It says, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a stone wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever works in a stone quarry may get hurt. Whoever splits wood may be injured. I've done some of that splitting wood and tearing out walls and those kinds of things. And, you know, he's saying that you got to take a risk to do that. You got to take a risk. That was their generation of time. Otherwise, if they didn't take the risk, they would never get anything done. And that's what he's thinking about for our generation. We also could respond the same way. I had a thought last week. I was in Grand Rapids and I was driving on the S curve, you know, right there close to downtown Grand Rapids. The traffic was very heavy and was going very fast. To be honest, at my age, 84 right now, I didn't like the idea of going quite as fast as they were going. I thought, I'm taking a risk by trusting these other drivers to do what they're supposed to do. Because it seems that they wasn't always doing. There's nothing we can do that doesn't have some element of risk. You understand that? You believe that? Whatever we do. I got to tell you, folks, when we leave, get the age of in the 80s, you start really nice and just realizing that just walking is a risk. And when there's ice on the sidewalks and there's ice on the driveway, it's pretty scary business. Because we don't want to fall. Fall, we generally break something, you know. In our study this week, we should take a look at the spiritual walk with God. We also encourage us to take a risk in walking with God. We need to do that, to walk by faith and not by sight. As a human being, is taking a risk. We must remember that that the one we have our faith in wants to move us forward as his child, beyond what we can do ourselves. And when he does that, wants to do that for us, he's calling upon us to take a risk. I would like to use one of the disciples of Jesus as an example about taking a risk when invited by Jesus. Peter's whole life has been a man on the water. He was a commercial fisherman. Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side, and so they got in the boat and went to the other side of the body of water they were on. They headed that way. Then all of a sudden, there was a huge storm, and that storm happened quite early, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, after those guys had been in the storm for maybe 4 or 5 hours, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came walking on the water. Oh, they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was scary business. Who is this? Let me just give it to you from the scripture. The book of Matthew chapter 14 is where this is recorded. But when his disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me," I like that, "command me to come to you on the water." "You tell me, come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." I don't know if Peter was looking for that to happen or not, but anyways, Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came towards Jesus. And you know what? That was a risk. He did it in obedience to Jesus saying, "Come." Now, he knows as much time as he spent on the water, you can't walk on the water. That's not a normal thing to do. Jesus was doing it, but he knew that Jesus was different than normal. Peter did take a great risk in getting out of the boat on that dark and stormy night. And by the way, it does tell us he did walk towards Jesus. But the key is that when he first put his foot into the water, he was doing it because Jesus said, "Come." Can you hear the voice of Jesus saying to you this morning, "Come, I got you. So I got something I want you to do." You know, the boat, even though the boat was being tossed to and fro, even though some of the waves were coming over the boat was their place of safety. Their boat was their place of security. To get out of the boat involved risky obedience to Jesus. But remember, when Jesus says, "Get out of the boat and come," we better respond in obedience. I believe that's something for us to get a hold of that helps us to get started on this message about the idea of realizing that we need to take a risk. But you know what? Peter hadn't walked very far until all of a sudden he took a peek at the storm that was carrying on. He could hear the wind, but it felt a whole lot different now than it did when he was in the boat. The waves seemed to be a whole lot different now when he can feel them hitting his body instead of hitting the side of the boat. And we found out that he did walk on water for a distance. But I want us to show you today what happens or what it is that causes many people not to dare to take a risk. To step out of the boat, to step out of their comfort zone, is two words, fear and doubt. Fear and doubt keeps us human beings from doing some things that God would have us to do. Listen to the story about Peter. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him. And as they walked back to the boat together, I think Jesus said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those other disciples that never got out of the boat, they worshiped Jesus. And you know what they said? "Truly, you are the Son of God." That's powerful, folks. Because Peter was willing to take a risk, others' faith was strengthened. Even though Peter stumbled and fell, so to speak, as he started to sink, these men that were in the boat, their faith was encouraged. And they come to understand Jesus in just a little different way than they had done before. Peter wanted the Lord to invite him to come. When Jesus says, "Come," you better obey. I believe in Peter's case, he was far safer walking on the water than he was disobeying in the boat. I think there's a little bit of a balance line there between disobeying and obeying that can help Peter a lot. But once Peter was on the water, he did walk toward Jesus, and I believe with all of my heart that Jesus walked towards Peter. They were on a journey towards each other. but everything goes fine for the first few steps. And then all of a sudden, Peter notices, because he feels the storm in a little different way than he did in the security of the boat. Now the storm and the winds and the waves are beating on him, and this is making it a whole lot different. There had been many storms, and there had been hours in this storm, but now Peter saw and felt the storm close up and real, very personal, and he was afraid. I'm not going to knock Peter. I'm not going to say bad things about Peter this morning, because I think if I was walking on that water in a storm like it was taking place, I would have been afraid. I also know one thing. Peter was doing something that was humanly impossible to do, walking on water. I want us to notice that Jesus came walking to his disciples in the midst of the storm. While the storm was at its worst, we each need to take courage from this experience that Jesus comes to us in the midst of our storms. Are you in a storm today, going through a difficult time? The winds of whatever nature they might be, the waves of whatever nature they might be. The storms in my life and the storms in Peter's life. And all of a sudden, those storms can distract, especially when the storm is raging all around us. Peter felt it all around him. I'm not excusing Peter, folks, but I understand it's not easy to keep your eyes on Jesus in the middle of a night, in the middle of a raging storm that overwhelms you. It causes you to have fear. We get fearful. Every one of us do. And he cries out to Jesus. I believe this is one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, but I believe it's one of the most beneficial prayers in the entire Bible. It's just a short little thing. He says, "Jesus, save me or help me." That's all he said. "Jesus, save me or help me." I love the response of Jesus. Immediately he reaches out his hand, and he took a hold of the hand of Peter, and Peter knew he was safe. Can you imagine, folks, in that hour of that storm, what it must have meant to Peter to feel the strong hand of Jesus as they walked back to the boat together? I got to tell you, folks, Peter would have missed that. I got to tell you, folks, all the other disciples missed that because Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. And Peter, as he's walking back with Jesus in the midst of the storm hasn't ceased yet. Because we read it, it said the storm ceased when he got into the boat. So Jesus and Peter walked together in the storm. I want you to know that this morning. Whatever storm it is in your life, I want you to know that Jesus is walking with you in the storm. And Jesus wants you to know that this can at the same time be a very special learning experience for you. Jesus looks at Peter and he says to him, "Why, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" But meanwhile, at the boat, the disciples of Jesus, they responded by worshiping Jesus. It wasn't going to be a worship of Peter for what he did. It was worship of what Jesus had done. And you know, I believe there's many times in my life, as I looked back, when the only thing I could probably say to Jesus was, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." We need to realize that whatever storms you're in today in your life, we need to cry out, "Lord, save me." With that thought in mind, I want to just take and shift the gears just a little bit. I think this time was probably earlier in the life of Jesus. I don't know that for sure. But I want us to think one time when Jesus was just getting started with the disciples. He's by the Sea of Galilee. He'd been teaching for some time, and a big crowd started gathering around to hear Jesus teach. Peter was a fisherman. He'd been fishing all night, but he didn't catch anything. He was there, and he was cleaning the nets. By the way, they clean those nets every time. And Jesus got into Peter's boat, and he asked him, "Peter, could you push out just a little ways?" And Peter pushed the boat, got the boat out in the water a little ways, and all the people was on the seashore. And Jesus sat down in the boat, and he began to teach them. You know what Jesus was doing? There's a big crowd of people. Jesus didn't have a PA system. He was using the water as a PA system. Have you noticed, folks, that when you're on the water, the voice carries? When the kids down in the public landing are swimming, we can hear their conversation at my place. One day I was over here to the lighthouse last summer. I had the windows open, and I was just doing some studying over here, and some guys were out fishing. They were about 150 yards from the lighthouse. But you know what? I could hear their conversation. They said their friend had told them, just go straight out from the lighthouse. And then he caught his entire limit right there. I could hear them saying that. Jesus is pretty smart. He's going to use the water to be his microphone so he can teach the people. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, or to Peter, take the boat into some deeper water and lower your nets to catch some fish. Peter answered him, "Teacher, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But if you say so, I will lower the nets." And after the men had done this, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to tear apart almost. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come, Peter, James, and John, and so on. James and John. Their partners came, and they filled both boats with fish. Now, I got to tell you, that's a fish story. That is, you know, the big one didn't get away. They filled two boats with fish. And then Peter bowed before Jesus, and he said, "Leave me alone, Lord. I'm a sinful person." Simon and everyone who was with them were amazed to see such a large number of fish that they had caught. And it wasn't the time to catch fish. And besides that, they had just come in from fishing all night, and they caught nothing. James and John were Zebedee's sons and Simon's partner. They were also amazed to see how many fish were caught. And then I love the Lord Jesus. He uses this as a teaching moment. He's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be too concerned about this. From now on, you'll catch people instead of fish. Simon and his partner brought their boats to the shore. And listen to what happened, folks. This is when they became a disciple. They left everything. And they followed Jesus. This risk is to trust Jesus in what he calls you to do, even if it's not the way that it has normally been done. These men had fished all night and hadn't caught anything, but at Jesus' word, they caught a great catch of fish. Enough fish to fill two boats. Peter realizes that this one Jesus is God. "Leave me alone, I'm a sinful person," he said. "I have no right to be before you." But Jesus said, "I'm going to make you to become a fisher of men." You know, there's a verse that I claim that says, God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinite more things than you and I could ever ask or think. When God gets a heart that is open and receptive, God goes to work. Well, we got to listen to a song. I got to give my voice just a few moments break and have a sip or two of water. So this song that I want us to listen to now is A Rose Among the Thorn. And you know, that's the difficulty that there is, that this world has some beautiful roses, some beautiful people in our world today. But there's some thorns. I want you to listen to this song and let this songwriter tell you his thoughts. And this song has no lead, so when I touch it, we're also going to be able to listen to it start right up, okay? And
while God bless you. While strolling through the fields of time, there's many things to see. But nature is the greatest sight that there could ever be. The greatest of them all to me is how the world was formed and why the roses have to live. Each day among the thorns, one day among a world of thorns, a rose began to grow. It was the greatest gift of God this world will ever know. It was the will of God to show that since the world was formed, there had to be a rose to live. And I among the thorns. Along the road to Jericho, a man was left to die. There like a petal from a rose, two men had passed him by. A neighbor and a friend came by and saw his lifeless form. With love he took good care of him. A rose among the thorns. One day among a world of thorns, a rose began to grow. It was the greatest gift of God this world will ever know. It was the will of God to show that since the world was formed, there had to be a rose to live. And I among the thorns.
2,000 years will soon be gone since God looked down in love. There in the town of Bethlehem a rose began to bud. It lived to bloom until one day was crushed with awful frown. And then in love from God above
was moved to higher ground. One day among a world of thorns a rose began to grow. It was the greatest gift of God this world will ever know. It was the will of God to show that since the world was formed, there had to be a rose to live. And I among the thorns, one day among a world of thorns,
a rose began to grow.
It was the greatest gift this world will ever know.
It was the will of God to show that since the world was formed,
there had to be a rose to live. And I among the thorns, there had to be a rose to live. And I among the
I love that. I love that song. I love the thoughts of that song. There needs to be a rose. Some good is coming from people's life instead of all the difficulty we often hear so much about. As you know, after a while, it gets kind of scary just to hear of all the difficult things that have happened in people's life. I want to take just a moment or two here. You know, I need to share this with you because when you experience these things in your life, you want to encourage others to let them know, hey, this is something that is beneficial. Dare to take a risk. Dare to trust God that He can do things that maybe you don't think He could do. He can do things through you which you don't think He can do. You know, I never was in church as a young person. I started swearing a lot as a young person. I worked on the farm, and all the farmers swore, and so they swear at the cows, they swear at the tractor, you know, just that kind of thing. That was a part of my life. Then when I was about 17 and a half, I asked Jesus to come into my life. And by the time I was about 18 and a half, I felt the Lord was calling me into the ministry. So I got involved in Bible school. I worked nights and went to Bible school in the days. I got out of work at 7, and my first class was 9 o'clock in Grand Rapids. But I was young, only 19. You can do that when you're 19. I couldn't do it now. And then, you know, I was attending the church. And every now and then I'd speak on a Sunday night. And one day there's three ladies. One Sunday evening, there's three ladies that came from Shiloh. And they said to me, "We want to give you a Macedonian call." That was in 1958. I didn't even know what a Macedonian call was. I looked it up later, and Paul was in doing his ministry, and he had a vision of a man saying, "Come and help me in Macedonia." These ladies were saying to me, "Come and help me in Shiloh, the church that we have there." I was 23 when I went there. And you know, I knew I was daring to take a risk. 23-year-old with not as much Bible school training as I should have had, was daring to take a risk and step out and say, "Yes, I'll be your pastor." You know, when I went there, it was something that was very challenging to me. I wanted to see it grow. And because I wanted to see it grow, I came across a Bible verse that says something like this about a man by the name of Jabez. His mother named him Jabez, that means painful, because she said that his birth was painful. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, "Please bless me and keep me, give me more territory. May your power be with me and free me from evil, so that I'll be not in pain." God gave him what he prayed for in 2 Chronicles. You know, he prayed that God would give him leadership, that God would give him direction, that God would give him power, that he'd be free from pain. In other words, it wouldn't be hard doing what he was doing, but it was going to be enjoyable to him. And he wanted to expand the territory of his life. That was my prayer at that period of time. And you know, along with that, I found another set of verses. "Expand the space of your tent. Stretch out curtains of your tent. And don't hold back. Lengthen your tent ropes. Drive in those tent stakes deeply. You will spread out to the right and to the left." That's in the book of Isaiah. You know, that was what I held on to when I first went to Shiloh. And not only that, but it was what I held on to all the years at Shiloh. And God used me and the congregation to build a beautiful church there. But you know what I want you to think of with me for the last part of my message? I'm going to kick in that part that says, dare to risk to be a caregiver. We weren't just building a building. We're building a building that could be used to help people. We have a food truck there at Shiloh Community Church once a month. 100 to 150 families every week get food there. There's been hundreds of thousands of funerals that's been conducted in the church. There's been many baptisms, many weddings, many good preaching, teaching times. That's what we want to understand. God wants us to take a risk, to do what we can do that's going to help other people. And one of my favorite ones that teaches that is given to us in a story about a man that is called a Good Samaritan. You know, this Good Samaritan, we don't hear about him at first when we start the story in the book of Luke chapter 10. We realize that what happened is what I said a moment ago. So many bad things happen in our world today. But it always has been. He was traveling, and some thieves stole all of his stuff, including his clothes. And they beat him up, and they left him for dead. And by the way, wouldn't you know, there was a very religious people, a person that was called a priest or a rabbi. There was another one called a Levi. And these individuals at different times passed by where this man was laying on the ground half dead. And both of those religious people passed him by without giving him any help. Then all of a sudden, there was a Samaritan. They were looked down upon because they were half Jew and half another breed. They called them Samaritans. After the two religious people passed by, it tells us, but the Samaritan, as he was traveling along, came across the man. When the Samaritan saw him, he felt sorry for that man. He went to him, and he cleaned and bandaged up his wounds. Then he put him on his own animal, probably a donkey. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him there the rest of that day. The next day, the Samaritan took out 2 silver coins, and he gave it to the innkeeper. He told the innkeeper, take care of him. If you spend more than that, I'll pay you on my return trip. Of these three, Jesus is asking the man that asked him, who's my neighbor? Jesus said to the man that asked the question, of these three, these two religious men and this Samaritan, who do you think was a neighbor to this wounded man? And the guy had to answer, the one that gave him help. You know, I believe that's what God wants us to understand. That he wants us to realize and know with all of our heart that God wants our lives to be assistant to other people's lives. I love the term caregiving. Caregiving is often mentioned when a person is in the last part of their life. But there's been caregivers in other parts of an individual's life. There's been caregivers when you got the flu, or maybe as you recover after a surgery. There's been those that we would call caregivers. And this Samaritan gives us some lessons that we can learn. He's going to be a good teacher by the example that he set. So let me just share some of those things with you. I believe this story speaks to our hearts. Did you ever notice that even in the news, when somebody stops to help another person, they say a good Samaritan stopped by? It's still called, when somebody does good like that, good Samaritan, willing to lend a helping hand. I might ask myself, why did the two religious leaders pass by this hurting man that needed help? That's the ones that I would expect would stop by and help him. Give him a hand. This so-called good Samaritan can teach us the ways to help, such as when he saw the wounded man, he couldn't pass him by. We got to get to the place, folks, in our life where we can't pass by the wounds of others. And not only that, when he saw him, the scripture tells us he stopped. He stopped because he felt sorry for him. You know what, when it says he felt sorry for him, you know what I think that means? I think that means he could feel the man's pain. He could feel, woe, but by the grace of God, it would be me. He could feel the pain of the other person. So immediately he takes an action. He binds up the wounds of the man. Not only does he bind up the wounds, but he takes and cleans him up as best he can, probably wraps him in some cloth that he may have had with him. Then he picks him up and puts him on his donkey that he had been riding. Now get this. Doesn't say it in the scripture, but it's probably true. He probably walked the donkey to the inn. And this wounded man is riding the donkey. He took all that he had and was willing to help this individual. And in the back of my mind, I see those two priests, or those two religious people, I want to call them, walk by and not do anything. But that's not the end of the story. He even goes further than that. Because when he gets to the inn, he takes out two coins. Remember, this man had been robbed of everything, even his clothing. He takes out two coins and he gives it to the innkeeper. He said, take care of him. Tomorrow, no, I gotta leave. But when I come back this direction again, I'll stop in, and if it costs more, I'll pay it. That's the second mile. That's more than the second mile. Then the question is asked, who's being a neighbor to him? You know why we need to answer that question about who's being a neighbor? Do you know what God said is the greatest law of the commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. Now listen, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. I believe in America we're losing that love for one another. I believe people's circles got too small. I believe God is saying to us, dare to take a risk and dare to reach out and touch the lives of other people. Dare to get involved. Dare to realize this is something that can be really a benefit to you as an individual. You know what I think my response wants to be? Is we need to help those that are in need. You know, I think we need to realize that there's a Bible verse that says something like this. And hope does not disappoint us, because we know God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I had never seen that verse before until this week. God has poured his love into our hearts. We need some of that. We need some of God's love poured into our hearts. I believe the Good Samaritan shows us a beautiful way that we can get involved in the lives of others. But before I leave, I want to give you one more way that I believe, because it's called the Good Samaritan. And one day Jesus said, I'm the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd does good things for the sheep. And this has been an illustration all through the Old Testament. But I love what Jesus said. Now listen to this. I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A hired hand isn't a shepherd and doesn't own the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, his hired man abandons the sheep and quickly runs away. So the wolf drags the sheep away and scatters the flock. The hired hand is concerned about just getting paid for doing the job. I'm the Good Shepherd, Jesus says. And I want you to know, my sheep respond to my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. They will never be lost, nor one will tear them away from me. Jesus is reminding us that I believe he's saying, I want you to get invested in the life of people in such a way that you would be able to bring some comfort and strength to their lives, as we realize that that's something that is very special for us to be a part of. You see, we need to invest some of our time, some of our talent, maybe some of our riches, so to speak, into reaching out and touching the lives of other people. So when I wrap this up together, we're going to listen to a song that says, Grace Alone. When I take the idea of what Peter went through in his life, where they had to walk on water, where all these things was happening in these people's lives of the disciples. But do you realize what happened to the disciples? Was that when all this was done and when Jesus was gone, the disciples were able to do many things that touched the lives of other people. And that's what God wants us to do. The things that we can do that can touch the life of somebody else. So that person in turn would be able to touch the life of somebody else. Would you dare to risk this morning to get involved in being a people person? In being a caregiver to the hurting of your world and my world? God bless you. It's time for me to go, so we'll listen to this song. And this song is just reminding us God's grace has reached out so much for us. And God's grace has given us so much that we need to reach back and realize what we have received, we can give. If you've been loved, you can love. If you've been forgiven, you can forgive. If you've received God's grace, you can pass God's grace onto someone else. God bless you. Bye-bye. And thank you for letting me share with you.